Thought for today. I keep my happiness in circulation. I keep my happiness in circulation. I keep my happiness in circulation. Alan Jeremini has always been a model of living the philosophy. And through the years, I have watched her as she demonstrated this with her family. She has gone to her family and taken them beautiful new Rolls Royces and taken them great castles in Spain, and she has taken them large presents that would just have overwhelmed anyone. I made a mistake there. She didn't do any of those things. She didn't take toys to her grandchildren. She didn't take perfume to her daughter-in-laws, her daughter-in-law, and beautiful golden watches to her son-in-laws. She didn't do any of those things. She gave them a treasure far greater than any physical thing could ever be. She gave them herself. Through the years, she's given them herself. And through the years, each of her grandchildren, each of her children, each of her husband, and all the other beautiful people in the world respect her beyond measure, because the gift that she gives them is inestimable. You cannot put a price on it. Each one of them thinks about the gift she gives them every moment of their life. She would get on the floor and crawl with the children and roll with them and giggle with them and laugh with them and be one with them. She would just sort of be so happy with them because she was sincerely happy. And they loved it. And they have other grandparents who treat them differently. Grandparents who bring them gifts, and they expect the money gifts from the other grandparents. And they're not unhappy with that. But they're the happiest when their grandma comes from America to visit them, or just writes to them, or sends them tapes. Grandma used to be very good about sending tapes to the children, and then she got away from it, got into doing other things. But they kept those tapes for years. They'd wear those tapes out. And when she would come to visit them, they wanted to share with her their most happy gift that they ever had in their life, to let her listen to herself on the tape that she sent, because that was the great joy of their heart. Our direction in life should be to keep happiness in circulation. We keep this happiness in circulation by first liking ourselves. If we don't like ourselves, we have no happiness at all to put into circulation. And the reason we have no happiness at all to put into circulation if we don't like ourselves is because we're stingy. We're penurious. We are misers. We are withholding our good from the most precious person in the world that we should be giving it to, and that's ourselves. When we can like ourselves and put happiness in motion for ourselves, we're great. Now, last night I gave almost an hour lecture on paying attention. Paying attention to the program that you've established for yourself. Living the program you've established for yourself. There's no decision, there's no discussion, you just live the program. And the program may seem sort of overwhelming at times, it may seem that you're not appreciated at times, and that's wonderful! Because if you ever feel that you're not appreciated, you don't love yourself. No one can love you unless you love yourself. No one can think happy thoughts about you unless you think happy thoughts about yourself. It's so inanely simple. It is so outrageously simple that to receive a lovely gift, you have to be a lovely person, or you wouldn't recognize it was a lovely gift. How many fathers have received gifts from their children and have known that the children saved up their allowance of pennies a week, or now it would be dollars a week or whatever it is, but they saved up their allowance, whatever it was, and they didn't spend it on themselves, but they wanted to buy a special gift for their father. And in saving up that money, they did without. They didn't have the candy bars that they would have bought. They didn't have the little stereo player that they would have bought for themselves. They didn't have a lot of things, because they wanted to have enough money to give Dad a present. And they went out and bought a present for him that he totally did not need or want. It was something that just was not his thing at all, but it was theirs. They gave it because they loved it. Well, now, if Dad is worth his salt at all, he will say to his child, "This is the most precious thing I've ever received in my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you." He won't say, "I know how you went without your allowances and how you went without all the things you would have done. I know how this stupid thing that I never have any use for, I just don't know what to do with it." But he takes it because it is given with love. You see, he has to be loving. He has to love his child so much that whatever gift they give and however much they spent on it, could be a lot or a little on white elephants. They come in all prices. And if you can just accept with purest of love, then the gift is many times given. But if in your heart you say, "This stupid thing, what am I going to do with it? Where can I hide it? It's not my thing at all." If you say, "They shouldn't have spent their money." If you say anything untoward in that way, you are taking away the joy of the giver. Now, the giver may have walked up to the house and reached down into your prized flowers and ripped out a bunch of them and presented them to you at the door. "Oh, Mrs. Enns, I wanted you to have these flowers." And you look down the flower bed and you say, "Ah." But you look at the flowers and you look at the love in the child's eyes and you say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." You let go of the feeling of possession of your flower bed. You can always plant more seeds. And you look into the heart of the giver and you say, "Wow, what a lovely thought. Everyone does not come to my front door every day and rip out some of my flowers and give them to me as a gift. I don't create that, but everyone doesn't. That one special time is so glorious. It is so touching to the very heart of us. It is so a matter of keeping happiness in circulation that we just have to sort of just flow over with the tears running down our cheeks, with our eyes just so filled with joy and so filled with happiness that this is taking place. If you're more worried about the flowers they ripped out of the garden than you are about the joy of their heart, you miss such a joyous gift. I keep happiness in circulation. I keep my happiness in circulation. Everywhere I look, I see things that make me happy. Everywhere I look, I see things that lift my heart and give me great joy. The rest of you can't do this, but I can. The rest of you have no capacity to look into each other's eyes and each other's heart and see the beauty that is there. You can't do that. Only I can do that. Only I can look at each one of you and see the genius that lay there. See the joy that sparkles out of your heart. Only I can do that. The rest of you are not able to do that. Because of why? Because you don't say, I can do it. Now, you don't want to be sounding silly, so you don't say it. But when you start sounding silly, then you say it. Can you imagine Anita sitting at the table next to John and looking over at John and seeing something in John that is just outrageously funny? And she starts to giggle. And John says, what are you giggling at? And everyone around the table says, what an idiot. What is she giggling at? I don't know what she's giggling at. But she keeps giggling. And in a few moments, we're all giggling. And we don't know what we're giggling at. But we're giggling. We're laughing and we're being very silly. And so then Anita tells us what she sees in John. She says, John, do you know that your hair is growing down your neck? And John says, well, that's where it oftentimes grows. No, it really, it's growing down your neck and it's knitting itself into a little ponytail. And John says, well, I encourage that. But you didn't encourage this. This just happened. I saw you get out of the shower and I saw the hair on the back of your neck all knitting itself into a little ponytail just by itself. John says, I've trained it to do that. And you say, but you can't train hair to do things like that. And John says, well, try me. I can do anything I want to do. He said, I can sit here before the rest of you and have the most stupid look on my face and drive you all crazy. You think, now, what is he thinking about that he has that far-out stupid look on his face? And then John says, well, you know, I was just looking inside of Ingeborg, and I was seeing a big bubble inside of her that's just sitting there. It's bouncing from one wall to the other in her chest, just an up and down and back and forth and here and there, some little dribbles and some big bounces and some bouncing all over the place. And Ingeborg says, what you mean? And John says, well, I see the joy, the happiness in you wanting to get into circulation. And you have put it in a cage. Now, Ingeborg, open your mouth. I'm going to hit you in the back. And you're going to let that big ball of happiness out. It's just going to come whoop, out of your mouth, just like a burp. And it's going to bounce around. And then you know what we're going to do with that, Ingeborg? You know what you're going to do with that big ball of happiness? We're going to take a pin and prick it so that we can all enjoy it. So it doesn't have to stay contained in that ball. And then when that happens, we're all going to be plastered with your happiness. But you got to let it out. You got to let it out. Now, see, this is what you each see in each other. You see the happiness there. But it doesn't matter. John's happiness was pounding Ingeborg on the back and watching her go burp and have this big ball of happiness bounce out of her mouth. By the way, what color is it? It's no color. How physical is it? It's no physical to it. Well, how did we know it was there? Oh, John has an eye for happiness. And so does Anita. Anita has an eye for giggling. This is why she giggles so. And Sylvia, what does she have an eye for? Sylvia has an eye for doing everything and seeing everything that's exceptionally beautiful. She'll look at, the graphic arts, and she will see something in a graphic arts that none of us can see. And she'll pull it out, and she'll wrap it in light, and she'll wrap it in love. And all of a sudden, it comes forth as a beautiful birthday card. And all we saw was just the symbols. But she saw the light. She saw the card. And what does Ellen do? Ellen has all of your joy so much in her heart. She wants you to be happy, each one. She wants you to be content. She wants you to be fulfilled. And she knows she can't do a thing about it. So she herself is the perfect example that draws out of each of you your highest and your best. She herself is a perfect example that draws out of each of you your highest and your best, that draws out of each of you your inner happiness. And she sees all of you as happy. She is like the grandmother she is. She gets down on the floor and plays with her children. She's not much one for getting down on the floor and playing with her kitten or her puppies. She'll bring them up to her. But the day when she gets down on the floor and plays with her kittens and her puppies and snuggles with them just like Gregor does or just like John, the rest of you do, and you just get your nose right down there and just love them to pieces. The moment she does that, then she'll get down on the floor with each one of you and snuggle the love right out of you by putting her happiness in circulation in your life. Now, you say, is that a physiological thing that she will do? Yes. Is that a mental thing that she'll do? Yes. Is that a happy thing that she'll do? Yes. But it's a little different from her normal modus operandi. Her normal pattern of activity, her normal pattern is to be up here and bring the cat up to her, bring the dog up to her, bring everything up to her, instead of going down where they are and being one with them. You see, true happiness makes no difference. That is, makes no distance. There's no distance between you and what you're being happy about. You instantly move right into it. What is the most joyous thing you can think of? I'm sure there are many more, but what's the most joyous thing you can think of a father coming home from work? He gets down on the floor and rolls and tumbles and tosses with his children. Even in his suit yet, maybe he took off his jacket, maybe he didn't. Maybe he took off his jacket, took off his shirt, took off his pants, and just went down on the floor and rolled with the kids and just had a ball, flesh to flesh, happy to happy. And the kids love it. And they pull the hair on his chest, and they tweak his arms, and they play with him. And he plays with them. There are no off limits, because they only mean love. They don't do something to kick him in the groin or hurt him because they want to manipulate him. They love him. But you see, people who want to be aggressive, people who want to be outwardly controlling, they don't do it out of love. They do it just out of manipulation. They don't want to wrestle and play and have fun. They want to do it for real. They want to get somebody in a hammerlock and get their shoulders down the ground or their and say, I won. Say uncle. You know where the word uncle came from. The word uncle came from the children's uncle, usually is a little older than they are, and he plays a little rougher than they do. And he's teaching them how to have fun his way. And they say, uncle, uncle, let go, it's too much. And that's where that turned. But when the kids say, Daddy, Daddy, there's never any of that. There's only the purest of love, the purest of giving, the purest of happiness. Now, you and I, we are the uncle of our nieces and nephews, and these are the people in our world who are a little further away. You and I, we are the mother and father of the people who are closer to us, of our ideas, of our dreams, of our plans, of our expressions of happiness. You and I, we are this wonderful thing. What kind of creation do we want to present to the world? Not any at all. All right, let's reword that. What kind of creation do we want to enjoy? That's better. We're not doing this for somebody else. If nobody's looking, doesn't matter. If somebody's looking, doesn't matter. Little boy goes to school, and his mother says, goodbye, gives him a big kiss. Oh, mother! Not in front of all my friends. You know what the child is being taught at home. The little boy who gets a kiss every night before he goes to bed. The little boy who, when he sees his mother, reaches up and mommy goes down and gives him a big smooch. The little boy, as grandma or grandpa or the aunts and uncles come, he gives him a smooch. Sometimes a big old smooch because he knows that they got a buck in their hand. And he really is preparing himself to receive that dollar. Motivation. But a child who normally kisses thinks nothing of kissing. He doesn't think kissing is a sissy tough. He doesn't think that being kissed by his mother as she lets him out for school is anything other than the most normal, wonderful, beautiful thing in the world. And parents who say their children won't let them kiss them are parents who are unable to kiss their children. Not because the children won't let them, but because they haven't trained that from the very beginning by giving happiness and love. Can you imagine a child in a home where the mother does not surround that child with her awesome love, just grabbing him, what I do, Mom, what I do? I just love you. I just love to be around you. Oh, thanks, Mom, I do. And then he's on his way. You see, it shouldn't be, what did I do? Why am I getting this hug? Why am I getting this? It should be the most natural thing in the world. He comes in from playing. His mother grabs him and snuggles him and says, you're a good guy. I love you. And smooches him on his dirty old face. And says, now, go get cleaned up for dinner. And he runs into the bathroom and strips off all his clothes and gets under the shower and rinses off all that play dirt. And then he gets into something nice and he comes in for the meal. Proud of himself. His hair combed in new ways, always new ways. Like our dear little friend Marcello. Handsome young man. We want to take his picture. Looked great. He says, where's my mousse? And he goes into and he wets his hair down and he puts a mousse on there and shrivels up his hair so it stands all over everywhere. He comes back out. Now I'm ready. He looked a mess, but a nice mess, you know. But it's his choice. That kid, if he had done that when I was a kid, they would have thought he was crazy. But now, all the kids are doing that, so nobody thinks it's crazy. So, when mother kisses you at school, even when you're 15, 16, 17, 20 years old, it should be the most normal thing in the world because it's a sharing of happiness that mother does with you all the time. Now, father, He brings you to school.
Have a good day, son. I'll shake your goddamn hand because I don't want to touch your lips.
Oh, what a sad affair. My goodness sakes. That's terrible language for you to use, Herb. But no, I'm very serious. That's just the way it is. Men are not supposed to kiss. And so, the son is ready to get out of the car, and Dad says, have a wonderful day, boy. And he reaches over and gives him a big smackaroo right on the lips. And then he jumps out of the car. He says, see you later, Dad. And all his friends are standing outside the car, and they're looking at him and saying, you kiss your dad? Sure, don't you? Doesn't your dad love you? Oh, yeah, I guess so. Doesn't your dad kiss you? No. Does your dad kiss your mom? Not when we're around. Does your mom ever kiss you? Oh, sometimes she tries. You can just tell the type of love-starved families that these children come from. No circulation of love there. No circulation of happiness. This starts in childhood. This starts very early in life. Now you see, that's just one avenue of sharing, but a very important one. Now we're going to go to the most important avenue of sharing that we can ever have. And there'll be no goddamn there. This is the most important avenue of sharing that we can have. You know what that is? That's loving yourself. Herb, you've already talked about that. No, not completely. I had to get you ready. And now we got this kissing going on. We got the kissing of the children, kissing of the husband and wife in front of the children, showing them that sharing love and expressing love is perfectly okay. It's not something to be hidden underneath the blankets. You wonder why these pregnancies take place among little children who are still young. They're still 13, 14, 15 years old. Well, that's because the parents never demonstrated love in front of them. They had to always do it in secret. And so the children went out and expressed love. And they weren't taught, hey, sex is something you can wait until you're married for.
Well, in this day and age, that's not the way.
Well, it's in every day and age. Sex is a very treasured part of growing up. It's a very treasured part of life. It should be something that is done between a husband and wife under the most lovely circumstances. And if you do it out of marriage, if you do it when you're not married and you have sex, it should again be the most lovely circumstances. It should not be circumstances where it's done under the covers. Not that you don't do it under the covers, but it should not be something secret. Because whatever you do should be good and very good. And if anything you do you think is shoddy or not nice, or you wouldn't tell your mother or your father about it, don't do it. Ever. Ever. Now maybe your mother and father have strict rules, or maybe they have loose rules. Maybe telling them things is not so difficult on that area. But I believe that one of the most treasured things in life is love, and sex is a part of it. But the most important thing, I believe, is to love yourself. So, if you're going to circulate happiness, begin with yourself. Start taking your body, kissing your arms, kissing your chest, kissing your legs, kissing everything about you. Kiss your hand and touch your body and send the kisses to your body. Just, I love you, I love you, I love you. Circulate this happiness. Circulate this happiness. Get this flowing like the blood in your body. Get this flowing through every organ, action, and function of your body. I love you, I love you, I love you. You don't have to say, I love you, Toe, because I stubbed you and you hurt. I love you regardless. I love you all the time. Share that. Share that. Share that. Share that. Share this happiness with the most important person in the universe, and that's yourself. I keep my happiness in circulation, starting with me. I love you.